listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Do you ever fucking pay attention? I threw the shit out the door.
I'm sorry, man.
Here we are, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with the Heavy Metal Episode.
Heavy Metal Episode!
Episode 41, Part 3, with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're going heavy metal on your ass.
Heavy metal!
Dude, man, what were you doing?
I was
supposed to be ready.
I was preparing my science stories, John, for the Heavy Metal Episode. I have some science stories. We love the science, don't we, John?
We love the heavy metal science. Sorry, I'm opening up a Diet Coke with Splenda.
How about a Fresca?
You fag.
Fagula.
Well, you know it is Valentine's Day coming up, Scotters.
It is.
You know that,
Are
yeah.
we going to do a Valentine podcast? A special Valentine's podcast?
How are we going to do that?
Well, I was thinking I'd bring some lube over. We turn the mics on. I bend you over and
ooh.
We record that.
Ah.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, John, before we get into science news, we have Skype now. And before we had Skype, you had the ability to call up on the telephone, and you tested that out.
That's
you gave
right,
me a call. So you called me up. I wasn't expecting
somebody?
It whatsoever. And you recorded it.
Should we call someone?
But here's the deal.
What?
I think the record... I didn't know what was happening. I had a guest over at my home.
You did.
They were on the other line. I didn't hear them when they were talking. But it was picked up on the recording that you made of the phone call.
Really?
Yeah, so I did bring that phone call in if you want to play the...
Here it goes. Here we go. Here we go.
This is the phone test.
All right, talk. Record. I'm recording.
All right. I couldn't make it in. Sweet.
I'm turning you up.
I hope that you like me sucking your cock. Actually, that's my favorite thing to do. Oh, you really have a nice one, so...
This is out of sight. So we're doing a podcast with Scott on the phone. Scott's away.
Couldn't make it in the studio.
He's sick.
I like to see your balls, and I like stroking your shaft with my tongue.
Wow, that's out of sight.
She was in my house, but I didn't hear her.
Yeah, now you're really loud. There we go.
Until after I heard
talk
it on playback.
Bit.
Talk some more?
Yeah.
Especially the underside, because I said that drives me crazy.
Okay. All right, then. That's sweet. Sweet. Totally.
So I'm not distorted?
No. Talk some more?
I'm not distorted?
No.
You can hear me clearly?
Yes.
Oh, this is sweet. This guy is a genius, man. No special equipment, $5 worth of stuff to hook this up. Except for a phone.
Bucks, huh?
$5. Boom. Done.
I am surprised you were able to give me such a big load after all
that. Wow. All right.
All right, then.
Well, I'll send this off to you so you can listen to it.
Okay.
All right. Are you at home?
What?
I know you're at home. I mean, are you by your PC?
Yes.
All right. I got some funny videos to send you.
Okay.
All right. Later. Bye.
All right. So that was our first phone
wow,
test.
Wow, man. You had what's up with that? Well, what kind of guests did you have over?
Well,
who talks like that? What is that?
Well, after hearing the Spike and Rachel threesome.
Is that your niece? Or
I brought a guest over and tried it out. I didn't know she picked up the phone, though. I didn't hear, but it came across on the recording.
Holy
and I couldn't
shit.
Tell if you were responding to her or not, because you were like, wow. Oh, that's out of sight.
No, I didn't hear that. That must have been on your recording.
So neither you or I heard that, but it came through on the recording. That's hot.
Wow, it could have been a ghost.
That is hot.
You think? Wow. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
Holy shit.
All right, so getting to science news, John.
Yeah.
Polygamous. Can you give me some science background news?
Background news?
Science. Science background audio. And I'll get in. There we go. That's good. And turn it down a little bit. Oh, my word. Ohio State crushed Illinois in basketball.
They crushed them.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I see him crying.
Polygamous inbreeders are pumping out children so retarded they need constant care, John. 90% of the 8,000 members of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, which occupies two towns on the Arizona-Utah border and reportedly relate to at least one of the two founding member families. Most members carry a recessive gene for Formosa deficiency. Relations among these relations have produced at least 20 kids with the full-blown disease. Doctors expect more as the inbreeding will continue with the community's founding 76 years ago. So the Fundamentalist Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints humps each other because they're the chosen people. God, and now they got to the point where they're pumping out retards.
Well, maybe the W was one
of
them.
We marry our kin because we're the chosen people, John.
You know what they do on Halloween, Scott?
What do they do?
They pump kin. How many times is that?
I don't know. I've lost count. Here's a PSA. Male circumcision protects women from AIDS, John. So if you've been circumcised and you have AIDS, it says in a Ugandan study, I don't even know if they have people in Uganda that can write, circumcision lowered women's infection risk by 30%. In men, the risk reduction is 50 to 70%, John.
No.
Here's the theory. Cells in the foreskin are susceptible to the virus and likely to pass it on.
Oh, man. Come on. That's bullshit.
It's from Science News.
Hey, man.
I vet this stuff, man.
You do.
And, John, it is the Olympics. The Olympics are on. We just saw Apollo Ohno trip up one of the Chinese competitors and completely take himself out of the race. And didn't that happen last Olympics?
Yeah.
He got caught up with Ho Suk from Korea or something. Yeah, so he didn't even place. And I have an Olympic story here for us now, John.
You do?
Oh, either did Bodie Miller. He did not place.
Wow. And
Olympians.
They were like big for sure to medal.
The for sures. Olympians are abstaining from sex to boost their performance, despite evidence that should have that they. Okay, let me start over. Olympians are abstaining from sex to boost their performance, despite evidence that they should have sex instead. Triathletes, skaters, swimmers, boxers, ice dancers, and other avoid nookie before the big contest. One says he abstained for 233 days. The Canadian swim team required an abstinence pledge. Pittsburgh Steelers coach ordered players not to stay with wives or girlfriends the night before games and enforced this with room checks. Rationale: conserving energy, strength, focus, and stay on your edge. But studies refute all of these benefits and suggest that sex can actually help by steadying you, John, increase your tolerance for pain, and boost your testosterone levels, which is so performance-enhancing, it would be illegal
and lower your,
if you did it with dope.
Well, yeah, and lower your blood pressure, too.
That's right.
So that you could actually, it's like a beta blocker, so you're not nervous.
Here's the theory. Abstinence rules are a fraud used by coaches to make sure their athletes get enough sleep.
Right.
So it's a fraud. Go ahead and get the nookie before you have to perform.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Perform and then perform. You know what I'm saying? Perform in bed and then perform on the field, John. Or the court or the track or wherever it is you perform.
Fuck.
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 That's all we're saying.
Fuck.
And the last science story tonight, cops are busting minors for internal possession of alcohol.
What?
The old rule required police to find a can or a bottle on you, but under new laws, in some states, booze on your breath, wobbly walking, and or 0.02 blood alcohol level is proof enough. Critics' complaints. How can you assert proof of possession when you can't see the thing allegedly possessed?
What?
Number two, how can you hold someone responsible for intoxication unrelated to a criminal act, especially since intoxication, unlike driving, is a state... not an act.
What? What?
That is profound, John.
Hey, how do you spell Del Rio?
I would think D-E-L-R-I-O.
What?
Del Rio.
What? What?
That's just what I think, Sly.
Are you hungry?
That's out of sight, Scott.
What do you got, John? What do you got?
You know, you just talk too much.
You talk too much.
I'm kind of slow
in the
brain.
Well, I don't have any science news.
We're over science. Let's get into politics.
I was reading a little bit of something about, you know, remember Brownie?
Brownie, Michael Brown.
Doing a heck of a job.
Doing a heck of a, heck of a job there, Brownie, yeah.
Brown blames Homeland for Katrina response. This is out of Associated Press. Former federal disaster chief Michael Brown, the face of the government's listless response to Hurricane Katrina, said Friday he told top Bush administration officials the day the storm howled ashore of massive flooding in New Orleans and warned, "We were realizing our worst nightmare." More defiant than defensive, Brown told senators he dealt directly with White House officials the day of August 29 storm, including Chief of Staff Andrew Card and Deputy Chief of Staff Joe Hagan. He also said officials from the Department of Homeland Security were getting regular briefings that day. Administration officials have said they did not realize the severe damage Katrina had caused until after the storm passed. Basically, what Brown is contesting is that he was telling him every day, you know, every minute what the updates were.
Is that backed up by email?
I don't know. We had that previously, didn't we?
Any objective evidence? Because he was emailing about his clothes during the day that
and
it happened.
Getting something to eat.
About his fashion, what a fashion king he was.
And he is, man.
He is, no doubt. He's very metrosexual. He's uber-sexual, John.
Yeah.
Uber.
After 3 hours of testimony, Brown was handed a subpoena ordering him to reappear in front of the House panel investigating the storm response. Brown is expected to be questioned by White House investigators this weekend, days before the panel is expected to release its findings on the storm, agreed he was a scapegoat. Brown, in the second Capitol Hill appearance since Katrina, told his side to the senators 5 months after he quit under fire as chief of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He agreed with some senators who characterized him as a scapegoat for government failures. "I feel somewhat abandoned," Brown said. Some senators suggested Brown look inward before pointing the finger elsewhere. "You're not prepared to put a mirror in front of your face and recognize your own inadequacies," said Norm Coleman, Republican of Minnesota. "Perhaps you may get a more sympathetic hearing if you had a willingness to confess your own sins in this."
Oh, there he goes with the religious BS.
Right.
What a dickhead.
Well, Brown responded, "That's very easy for you to say, you motherfucker, sitting behind that dais, and not being there in the middle of that disaster, watching that human suffering and watching those people dying and trying to deal with those structural dysfunctionalities, even within the federal government." FEMA Homeland Security ties problematic. The disjointed federal response, Brown said, was in part the result of FEMA being swallowed in 2003 by the newly created Homeland Security Department, which he said was focused on fighting terrorism. Natural disasters had become the stepchild of the Department of Homeland Security, he said. Had there been a report that a terrorist had blown up the 17th Street Canal levee, then everybody would have jumped all over that, he added. Some senators attempted to trace the failures back to the White House. And you know what? In a way, I feel for this guy, Michael Brown, because in the beginning, he wasn't allowed to say anything, but now he can say whatever he wants because he doesn't work for them anymore. So And a lot of evidence is supporting the fact that Chertoff is, he's basically singled out by White House investigators because that whole department really fucked it up. Charity starts at home, Scott.
Well, the
we got to take care of our own before we worry about anything else. And they took FEMA and they rolled them into the Homeland Security, which is just another fucking government bunch of fluff.
No doubt, man. And but the thing to me is it's Bush's problem.
Oh, yeah. No
He's
doubt.
He's the guy who came up with these stupid-ass ideas. He's the one who put Brownie in the job with no goddamn experience. He's the one who completely fucked up and continues to fuck up, and people are starting to see it.
Oh, yeah. And this is what they said today in the paper. Hurricane Katrina exposed the U.S. government's failures to learn the lessons of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks as leaders from President Bush down disregarded ample warnings of the threat to New Orleans and did not execute emergency plans or share information that would have saved lives, according to a blistering report by House investigators. A draft of the report to be released publicly Wednesday includes 90 findings of failures at all levels of government, according to a senior investigation staff who requested anonymity because the document is not final, titled A Failure of Initiative.
Failure. Another word.
Failure.
A word that keeps
Bush.
Popping up.
With Bush.
Might as well rename this guy. George W. Failure. Because he's a stupid-ass chimp.
Yeah, no doubt. George W. Failure.
Failure.
The 600-plus page report lays primary fault with the passive reaction and misjudgments of top Bush aides, singling out Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Operations Center, and the White House Homeland Security Council, according to a 60-page summary of the document obtained by the Washington Post. Regarding Bush, the report found that earlier presidential involvement could have speeded the response because he alone could have cut through the bureaucratic resistance.
Yeah, right.
No, yeah.
You get a phone call. Here's on the other end.
A bunch of he could have cut through the brush to get to a bunch of bananas.
Stupid ass chimp.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And then this crap that came out this week about the foiled terror attack.
Yeah.
George
Whatever.
Bush reveals an old Al-Qaeda plot to fly a plane into Los Angeles. Library Tower has been foiled. But has he got the name of the tower wrong? Were any of the other facts right?
You
it
know,
was meant to be a West Coast element of 9/11.
Exaggeration.
President Bush was revealed. He's revealed details of the alleged plot to hijack a plane,
disassemble,
breach the cockpit door with shoe bombs, John, and fly it into the tallest building in Los Angeles. Now the story smacks of stupidity right away. They're going to use shoe bombs to get into the cockpit.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that blow up the fucking plane? And would they take their shoes off before they, or would they just walk over and one of these guys would get like 80 versions for blowing up the cockpit so these other cocksuckers could get in the cockpit?
The stupidity of the whole thing is the fact that these guys, okay, anybody who does this kind of stuff is really motivated, okay? But it's not like they have an army of them, you know? They're not coming over here with tanks and aircraft carriers. It could be anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody. It could be Timothy McVeigh. It could be an American doing it. It could be anybody. So what do we got to do? Tap everybody's phone?
Yeah, that's what we got to do.
And we're I think we found everybody. You know what? What cracks me up, and this guy at Gonzalez is so motivated, this little snake of a weasel. He is damn good. I was watching him on C-SPAN today, and he is unbelievable.
You're referring to Alberto Gonzalez.
This guy is a tricky bastard.
No, he's not. He's as stupid as W. Because you know what he
said?
Well,
I know about that. No, but he'll get himself out of that bullshit.
How could you possibly get out of that?
I don't know. It was pretty stupid, wasn't it?
It was stupid.
George Washington.
And I don't have it in front of me, but...
Well, he basically, paraphrasing it, he said that... we've been doing electronic surveillance all the way back to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, they all of them called for electronic surveillance.
And the telegraph machine wasn't even invented till the late 1800s or early 1900s. So how the hell can he do that? Was it a can with a string? Is that what it was?
I don't know.
The old can with a string with George Washington. And with George Washington, I don't think the Constitution was even written yet.
No, it wasn't.
So what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, look at Bush has supposedly got the history major. No, that didn't happen. His dad paid for his grades, and he never had to go to school. Just like he never had to show up for the National Guard because he was a drunk cocaine head. Stupid-ass chimp. But, John, let me ask you this question. Where would the Bush administration be without terrorism? Can I ask you that?
And
I answer?
Go ahead.
Like the Cold War before it, the War on Terror is a conveniently sweeping rationale for all manner of irrational governance.
No, they're not going to catch Osama because, like you said before, they need him.
I think
you covered that before, Scott.
Such is the outrageous $2.77 trillion budget that the chimp, is going to propose to Congress on Monday. Without terrorism, how could Bush justify to fiscal conservatives the whopping budget deficit that he has allowed to balloon via his tax cuts for the wealthy that he now seeks to make permanent? Without terrorism, how could he convince government corruption watchdogs that the huge increases in military and homeland security, respectively, aren't simple paycheck to the defense contractors who so heavily support the Republicans every election cycle? Without terrorism, John. How could the president get away with blindly dumping $120 billion more into the war in Afghanistan and the bungled occupation of Iraq that the Bush administration had once promised would be financed by Iraqi oil sales? Remember that? Remember the good old days?
Oh, yeah.
When we thought we were going to get free gas out of this?
Yeah.
In order to pay for the money pit that is Iraq, John, the Bush budget demands draconian cuts in 141 domestic programs, which means we're not going to get drugs, Medicare, Medicaid. We're not going to get education. All that shit's going to be cut so he can spend more money to make his cronies wealthier.
Right.
That's what it means, John.
Right. And we're going to cover that, I think, next podcast or the podcast after. We're going to talk about a little known history about Smedley Butler.
Smedley.
Look it up. Smedley Butler.
Anybody I wonder why out that name's not popular today, Smedley.
It's not. But anybody who is interested in the guy wrote a little tiny book called War is a Racket.
And we'll cover that next podcast.
Yeah, check it out. But Google Smedley. S-M-E-D-L-E-Y Butler. And you'll be interested to find out what the hell this guy had to say. And a little bit of history about kind of a coup d'etat that almost happened in our country. A little fascism that almost happened. And you might
see some... big business.
Right. And you might see some parallels between something called the American Liberty League and the Progress for the New American Century. So look at American Liberty League, check that out on like Wikipedia, and then look up PNAC, Project for a New American Century. Pretty cool how the, not cool, I guess, but you'll see how they kind of are similar.
That's PNAC to you and me, yeah, John.
A lot of PNAC going on here.
Well, get this, John. A Russian MP says U.S. to attack Iran in late March. A top Russian parliamentary leader has told somebody, Eco Moskva radio station, that an attack on Iran is inevitable and that it will occur on March 28th. The leader of the Liberal Democrats, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, believes that the Muslim riots were orchestrated by the U.S. to garner European backing for the military strike. Rhetoric has heated significantly in the past weeks with Donald Rumsfeld, Donald Dumsfeld, yesterday warning that a military option was on the table, echoing the comments of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist.
I got to fight, okay?
Who said that the U.S. was prepared to take military action. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Our armed forces are already stretched thin. Now we're going to invade Iran.
Right. Well, then we'll have a draft.
Are we going to get free oil?
No.
Are we going to get free oil? At some point, 5 cents a gallon? No, it's not going to happen.
I'm George W. Bush.
And here's the most goddamn disturbing story this week, John.
I think it's perfectly reasonable.
The inscription noting the duration of Bush of the chimp's presidential term doesn't read. Okay, so here's what happened. They made a bust of President Bush for some reason. Who knows why they did this? But there's a bust, and then at the bottom of it, there's an inscription of the term that he was in office. It doesn't read 2001 to 2009. It reads 2001 to blank. There's nothing there. In other words, the statue says he's going to be president from 2001 through infinity, John.
How is that possible?
Everyone knows that Bush is supposed to leave office in January of 2009. We certainly know it. It's going to change our show dramatically.
Right.
That's no mystery. There's no uncertainty about it. The 22nd Amendment, which we talked about before, makes it so. It's the law. There's no gray area. Now, there was a time when somebody proposed changing the 22nd Amendment so that a president could be more than one term. But I think they figured out that the American public thinks this guy is a fucking chimp, so they couldn't win an election. So here's their new strategy, John.
Oh, well, they think he's going to leave earlier?
No. Here's the new strategy. Here's what's going to happen. President Bush's plan is to use his executive authority under his wartime powers, John, the war on terror.
Oh, yeah.
To cancel the 2008 election, because a change in leadership here might embolden the terrorists, John. And we don't want to send mixed messages.
You read that somewhere?
What was that?
I don't know.
No. This is what I'm theorizing, John.
Kind of one of those exaggerations.
There's no way.
What the hell's going on with Apollo Ono?
If that fucking shit starts, I don't know. What is he doing?
He's trying to get out on the ice, and they wouldn't let him. Okay, he's out now.
No, he's okay.
He's all right. He's taking his shit off. Here he comes.
Come on, man. I'm not leaving the TV on for you anymore. And you're watching it in HD.
Here's what I'm saying.
It's not fair. I got a 20-inch, and you got over the 41-incher.
They're going to attack Iran. We got the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. We're going to attack Iran, and Bush is going to cancel the election. He's going to say, we don't have time for this. We need somebody like me who knows what he's doing to lead us through these terrible war times, this war on terror, and we're never going to be able to get rid of this motherfucker. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, don't tell me that, man. You're going to depress me.
And can you believe the shit that would go on if that happened? If he really said that? If he really did that? That would be awful. That would be so goddamn horrible.
Brutal.
We'd have to move to Amsterdam or something.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. In Amsterdam, is that where they printed those cartoons?
Yeah.
The Muslims got all upset about it?
Yeah, they got upset.
And what the hell's going on? Who gives a shit about a goddamn cartoon? Sure, I can be offended. Maybe I'm offended by a cartoon, but I'm not going to run out on the street and riot and kill people. You know what I'm saying, John?
Right.
Who gives a shit? And here's the deal. It's a fairy tale. It's a fucking fairy tale is what they're getting upset about. It's if somebody drew a bad cartoon about Santa or the Tooth Fairy, and we're going to go out and kill people? That's so stupid. And these are the people that we're trying to give democracy to? Give me a goddamn break.
Yeah. Well, they're being incited by something. And at first they were, it was no big deal. But I think they're being incited by some of their own government people.
Yeah, who cares if they're that stupid?
But do you remember
to be programmed like that?
Did I talk about that story about Penn Jillette where he talked about he was in a store with his kid and he had a shirt on, he had a hoodie that was unzipped, but it said "No God."
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way it was open, it said "Nod."
Nod.
Yeah.
It said "Nod."
Yeah.
Okay.
But some guy saw it and gave him some shit about it, some well-dressed guy. And says, hey, man, yeah, you're wearing the wrong shirt, pal. And started almost threatening him with bodily harm.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
And he was saying, hey, you know, it's okay to wear a crucifix anytime you want, but you can't wear a no God shirt. What the fuck is that?
Start wearing a shirt that just says, fuck you, is what you need to do.
Fuck you and your God.
Before you come to me with these fairy tales. Fuck off.
But it's really no difference, you know. I mean, yeah, it's a little more extreme with the Muslims, but the same thing would happen. Not the same thing, but you remember when Dogma, the movie, came out with the Kevin Smith movie?
Yes, I remember.
And there was all those protests because of the Buddy Christ.
Buddy.
Remember Buddy Christ?
Right, Buddy.
he had the thumbs up. Hey, how you doing? And there was all these protesters protesting his whole thing. Okay, luckily we have the whole freedom of speech thing. But back in the day, you did some shit like that, and they would have burned you at the stake as a heretic.
Right. What the hell's going on over there, man?
I have a little gas.
Well, it's all so goddamn stupid. It's over a stupid make-believe. It's like if we were back in Greece and we were fighting... we got pissed off because somebody denigrated Apollo or Zeus. And it's a bunch of baloney.
And they did that back then, too.
And people got killed over it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's over stupid stuff, John. Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid stuff.
Well, I think the whole thing, and what they don't understand about the cartoon is what the cartoon was making fun of religion as a whole. Not just Muhammad. The ridiculousness of religion.
Which it is.
As saying the one cartoon was, hey man, we're running out of virgins.
We've talked about that before. Where do they get all these goddamn virgins?
Yeah.
And after they're used up by these idiots who fly themselves into buildings, what happens to them then? Yeah. Where do they go then?
Right.
Is there like a second tier of Muslim Islam that gets the leftover virgins?
It's virgin land. It's kind of like kiddie land.
Well, they're no longer virgins after that. What happens to them then?
Right.
Then do they just become whores?
Whores.
It's ridiculous, John.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Who was the president in World War II? Who was our president?
Was that Roosevelt?
Was it?
Yeah.
Not Teddy. Not Theodore.
No, not Teddy.
The other one.
Although they were related.
Delano.
Franklin. FDR.
Franklin Delano.
FDR, man.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah? So what about him?
Well, he served four terms.
Right.
So I think the W thinks that he's a Delano.
Yeah.
The difference is those had armies with uniforms and governments and countries.
Yeah, but the W will spin it.
How do you spin terrorists?
He'll spin it, and the goddamn red states will buy it.
This is what cracks me
up.
And
we'll be stuck with this cocksucker.
Yeah, we got to keep going until the war's over. How do you know the war's over?
Like the war on drugs. Did we win that one, John?
Right. Oh, look, we found the last bag of pot in Jimmy's drawer. It's over. The war on drugs is over. I think I told that joke before, didn't I?
Yeah, but it's funny. Yeah,
I know, it's funny.
It's timing. It's about timing, John.
Well, I stole it. I stole it from one of those comedians. Mm-hmm. You know, comedians are pretty...
funny?
Funny.
Yeah.
But they're also like philosophers, you know?
Philosophical.
Yeah, philosophical.
Yes.
They're kind of, you know, that kind of thing. What's that?
That's a door, man. Hold on.
All right. You going to get that?
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on.
When are you ever going to get the door?
Jesus Christ. Well, it's far away.
Hey, man, what's happening? All right, come on. Follow me.
Lockstep. Goose step. Got to get used to it.
On my back. Here we go.
The fascist regime is in, you know.
All right, man, here we go. Yeah.
All right, I'm back. He's still
all
walking.
Right, have a seat.
He's right, so goddamn loud. Together.
Get your papers. Holy crap.
All right, man. Whenever he's ready.
Yeah. All right.
WTTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And I'll start out my newscast tonight with an Olympic story. U.S. Olympic. Let me start again, as I was so rudely interrupted. U.S. Olympian banned for using hair loss remedy Propecia.
What?
He is not expected to regain his position on the team.
Did you write that, Phil?
A court agreed that Zach Lund is no drug cheat. Then it dashed the U.S. Sliders Olympic dream away. And along with it, the turmoil racked skeleton team's best hope for gold. Lund was banned from the Turin Olympics on Friday for taking a common hair restoration pill with an ingredient that can be used to mask steroids.
Fuck me.
Next story, John. Enron trial calls recess when attorney's cologne overwhelms juror. Talk about a gag order. The Enron trial in Houston took an abrupt recess the other day, but the judge, Sim Lake, and the three lawyers remain mum about the reason for the break.
What?
After the attorneys were called to the bench, Lake explained it was due to scheduling problems, but a Houston Chronicle reports that real cause was an overabundance of cologne on Enron CEO Jeffrey Schilling's lawyer, Daniel Pertapascelli.
Absolutely.
A juror complained she was overwhelmed during cross-examination of witness Mac Koenig. During the break, she scrubbed himself. He scrubbed himself down so the legal pleadings could continue. Next story, John. Bush to spend $2.7 trillion budget to Congress. I'm sorry. Let me start over. Bush to send $2.7 trillion budget to Congress, a large part allocated to printing dictionaries with a new definition for the word conservative.
What? What?
Next story, John. Oasis slam white stripes for selling out to Coke. Promptly sell out to AT&T.
Six.
Oasis have landed a $1 million U.S. deal, despite blasting white stripes for taking advertisers' cash.
You know what I mean?
Their single, All Around the World, is being used by telecom firm AT&T. It comes after Noel Gallagher said Stripe star Jack White had sold out by writing a Coca-Cola jingle. Noel said, I don't believe in adverts. Jack White ceases to be in the club. Oasis refused to comment last night, John. Next story. Penelope Cruz y Salma Hayek se romara para se amantes.
Shut up.
A la mora roja para los gatos portadas partes.
Gosh, shut up.
And for us non-Latin Spanish-speaking people, John, Penelope Cruz and Selma Hayek have been rumored to be lovers for a year now. I've heard everywhere that these two dykes out all of the time. But starring in the film Banditas together has fueled reports that the two are bumping mumps.
Jesus Christ.
During a press conference for the film in Mexico.
Did you just crack yourself up, man?
I did. Penny reached over and grabbed Selma's ass.
That's fucking disgusting.
She said, I grabbed Selma's ass just to keep things moving, and the energy changed when I did that.
Pussy!
Magazines in Mexico are describing us as lesbians. People are saying we are lovers.
Did you say lesbians?
Lesbians.
Fucking lousy kisser.
Next story. Janet Jackson became fat. I'm sorry. Janet Jackson became a fat ass on purpose, John.
No shit.
In an industry observed with outward appearances. Okay, I'm really having trouble tonight, John.
You're butchering the news, man.
Industry obsessed with outward appearances. Explanations that are being offered to explain the visible pound fluctuations of megastar Janet Jackson. Janet's boyfriend, Jermaine Dupri, tells the New York Times that the singer's widely reported weight gain from 118 pounds to 180 pounds was deliberate. She gained weight for an indie role, Dupree said, explaining she was supposed to play a mother in the Deep South, but the role eventually fell through.
Oh my God.
Next story, John. Paris Hilton buys bar so she won't have to worry about getting thrown out when she gets drunk. Socialite Paris Hilton has cemented her party girl persona with a 50% stake in one of London's hottest bars. The 24-year-old hotel heiress was given a share in swanky Kensington Club, The Collection, a favorite haunt of a British royal Prince William, as a gift from her parents who hope the venture will develop the blonde beauty's business skills.
Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!
Next story, John. Kanye. Kanye West.
Kanye?
His head grew three times his size at the Grammys, John. I'm really butchering this. He calls calls for a revised edition of the Bible because he thinks he should be a character in it. Next story. Gonzaga fans asked to stop yelling. Gonzaga, that's not funny, John. Gonzaga fans asked to stop yelling Brokeback Mountain at opposing players. Fans of number 5 Gonzaga have been asked to stop yelling Brokeback Mountain at opposing players. The reference to the recent movie about homosexual cowboys was chanted by some fans during Monday's game against St. Mary's.
And I wish I knew how to quit you.
Sorry. And is apparently intended to suggest that an opposing player is gay. The chants were subject of several classroom discussions over the past week, and the faculty of advisors of the Kettle Club boosters group registered us this week to avoid inappropriate chants during the Bulldogs Saturday game against Stanford, which was nationally televised on ESPN. Gonzaga immediately came up with the chant, "You're a faggot!"
It didn't happen.
More college news, John. Student caught
with
his...
That's a fact. That's a fact.
More college news, John.
And that's the truth.
Student caught with his pants down masturbating in college library explains to police that the connection in his dorm room wasn't fast enough.
That needs to be fixed.
An 18-year-old male USU student was arrested Sunday night at Hayden Library and charged with indecent exposure and public sexual indecency. Rocket. The suspect allegedly pulled his pants and underwear to his mid-thighs masturbate while watching pornography at his laptop.
Don't touch it.
When asked why he had gone to the library to view pornography and masturbate, the suspect allegedly told police, "To be honest, the internet connection in my dorm isn't good enough."
It's fuzzy math.
And this is the last story tonight.
Last story.
Fattest man in Britain has gone to the big buffet in the sky. He wore 80-inch pants and took it 8 firemen to move his body.
What?
A 50-stone giant dubbed the fattest man in Britain has died after enjoying his final fish supper. Jack Taylor, 60, tucked into a jumbo special fish treat before going to bed. He died the night of a heart attack, and his niece found him the next morning. Neighbors said they would miss eccentric Jack, who wore 80-inch trousers and a hairpiece made of black plastic. One local resident said, "We saw his body come out. He was in some kind of stretcher carried by 8 firemen. It was sad. I think the family were pleased he came out the front door. There were fears they would have to find some other means of getting him out." And that's the news, John.
Well, thanks, Phil.
You know him as Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Well, Phil, always showing his professionalism. I don't know how you do it. I would be out of my fucking mind with John with those goddamn soundboards. I don't know
get
how
out.
You do it, Phil.
Get out. Thank you, Scott, for that
get
vote
out.
Of confidence. And, get out.
I'm so goddamn disgusted.
Dumbass.
Right now.
Whatever.
I don't know if I'll be back. Fuck you.
I think he's pretty
God,
upset,
he can't
man.
Take a joke, big baby.
Well, he takes his news seriously.
Yeah, whatever.
Spends a lot of time on it.
Yeah, he takes it seriously, all right, the little fucking double entendre in the beginning of the first story.
Well, yeah, he does take his snooze. He takes his news seriously, but he was really having trouble articulating tonight.
He was,
John.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah,
I don't
blah,
know
blah,
what was
blah,
going
blah,
on there.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
All right, then.
All right, then.
Yeah. All right, then.
Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead and play file one.
File one.
001, John.
Right, want to bet another Chipotle?
Yeah. My
all
bodyguard
right.
from the, like,
double
79.
Or nothing.
Jesus
double or
Christ.
Nothing.
The little kid with the curly
fucker.
Hair.
Not the little kid. The bodyguard.
Who's the fucker
in
here?
Full metal jacket.
Ah! The bodyguard, yeah.
The kid's bodyguard. The kid.
The movie with Matt Dillon.
Right.
Okay. Chipotle it is.
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Double or nothing. So I could get nothing out of this deal.
All right.
Or I could get.
Double or nothing.
Double the Chipotle.
Double or nothing.
All right. So the bet is the guy who was the bodyguard in my bodyguard.
Oh, wait
a
minute.
Jacket.
Right.
Nice.
As a. Oh, wait a minute.
All
right, man. So that was six goddamn weeks
I
ago.
I ordered it. It's coming.
You ordered it?
Yeah.
When's it going to be
here?
It's
on its way.
When am I going to get my Chipotle?
Any day now. It's coming.
My Chipotle.
Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle? It's coming, man.
All right.
Don't worry. It'll be here, brother. You get your Chipotle. Oh, yeah. You're going to get a Chipotle right up your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. A big fucking Chipotle in your ass.
A chimichanga?
Yeah.
Put two of them up your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for AKC's Total Talk Nonsense, Episode 41, Part 3, with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And make sure you listen to Punky at Punky, what is it?
Punky. Everybody knows Punky.
And why don't you vote for us? I can't take it. There's only 31 votes on there.
So
what's
what?
Up with that? I want 100,000.
Don't vote for us unless you're going to leave a... What? Don't vote for us unless you're going to leave a comment.
And check out Kinky Sex Radio.
If you can't come up with a comment, don't leave a goddamn vote.
Shut up. Professor Tom.
Professor Tom on Kinky Sex and Punky.
Shut up.
Just go to Google and put in Punky and you'll find them.
Punky!
And Spike and Rachel.
Spike and Rachel, yeah. Check out their
show.
Nice. They do some good shit with video.
And we got some video shit coming up, John.
Yeah, coming up.
Coming
up.
We
might do a Skype show next Sunday. Or
next
one of those
Sunday.
Days.
One of those days.
I'll get a hold of you. We'll work it out.
Show.
Yeah.
We'll
all right.
Work through it. Because we're professionals, John.
Yeah, professionals.
We are. In broadcasting, because we've been paid for this.
Right.
That's right.
All right. We're out of here.
Later.
Thanks for coming. Take care.
You're listening to John and Scott.
On Total Talk Nonsense.